Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Earl Morgan Hour. Brace yourself. By independent insurance agent H. Roscoe Taylor Jr., business accountant. Know your business, 731-733 Grand Street, Jersey City, New Jersey. Also, our friends at DeClaire Publishing, that's DeeCLaRe Publishing LLC, reinforcing the priorities of God, family, and community through literacy. You can reach them at 1-888-350-9721. That's 1-888-350-9721.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Good evening.
Good evening, Tina Bland. This is Earl Morgan, your host for the Earl Morgan Hour. It's Wednesday, 7 p.m., so it must be on GoPro Radio. The Earl Morgan Hour, and Miss Bland will be wearing two hats tonight. She's not only a co-host, but as the president of BITE, the acronym that stands for Black Interest Team Enterprise, that had a forum at the Metropolitan AME Zion Methodist Church in Jersey City Saturday. We are going to get an update and a report on what BITE's activities are, how the forum progressed, and what we can expect in the future. The very dynamic keynote speaker there, State Assemblyman Sheila Oliver, who is a former Speaker of the Assembly and also a former resident of Jersey City, laid down a marker during her address to the forum, which was held to raise community consciousness to the disparity, or Croson study as it's known, conducted and paid for by the Jersey City Municipal Government. And this study documents the many, many ways minorities are being locked out of a fair share of the city's purchasing power. Also with us tonight, we have Dr. Francis Thompson, a vice chair
evening,
of BITE, who
Dr.
is also
Thompson.
The director of the Hudson County Minority and Women Business Enterprise Office and therefore knows a thing or two about the subject at hand. Welcome, Dr. Thompson, if you're there.
Good evening. Good evening, Earl. Good evening, Tanya.
Okay.
And I'd just
and
like to correct that, Earl, because Dr. Thompson is actually one of the vice presidents.
Oh, I'm sorry. I said, didn't I say vice president?
No,
yes,
vice
you did.
Sorry. I said vice chair, so
correct.
Sorry, but I said vice president. Well, what I would like to start with a report from Tina, a report from you, and then some comments from Dr. Thompson about the about how you saw the forum Saturday, what it was like, who was there. What the audience was like, who else was there with us, with all of us, because I was there too. So, Tina, you can start, please. I'd appreciate it.
Okay. Well, I'd like to make sure the audience realizes that my co-host, Earl Morgan, is part of the BITE team. He's, as a matter of fact, on the think tank. And we thank God that we have the great journalist and historian there for us.
Well,
I
thank you very much. My modesty precluded me from saying that, so thank you for making that revelation to our audience, Tina. And so what was your assessment of Saturday's event?
Well, I will make sure that my portion is small because Dr. Thompson, who was our master of ceremonies, did such a stellar job the team is fantastic. Let me say that. And this was our coming out. And what a wonderful job was done. Our representative, Sheila Oliver, did a phenomenal job. She really laid down the mallet. She absolutely did. Because she was very clear on many items. She did not allow the community to shirk their responsibility any more than she did the politicians. When she said, and I'll start with the community, it is of paramount importance that we are educated and we are able to hold the jobs that we so amply desire. That was the call for the constituent base. And for the politicians to recognize this Croson report, to recognize the fact that these things are going on and had for so long, even before the meeting on Saturday when we talked, she said this has been going on as long as she could remember. The fact.
Yes. Hello.
I'm here. Tina's voice is gone.
I don't know what happened. She must have been disconnected.
Well, I'll continue from where she left off.
All right, go ahead, friends.
What was very important about the whole issue was that she made it very clear that the disenfranchisement of minorities exists in all levels, including government per se. She emphasized that there are many levels of government that minorities need to be participating in, and that is on many of the boards that they have on the state level, the county level, the federal level. We are not active in those areas, and that we need to get connected to our elected officials and are, and that in fact we need to be connected to those boards. Tina, have you returned?
Yes, I did. I don't know. There's a
All right, continue.
In the system.
Continue.
But
I'm talking to end up where you left off. Go right ahead.
But you know what? This is what I mean about an excellent team. When everyone absolutely understands the markers and is able to deliver, this is why we do such a wonderful job. Each politician that stood, and Dr. Thompson will take you through each politician that was there, but each politician that stood said the same thing, that this is the team was of paramount importance, and they were so glad we were here. Because someone had to get to a point as a group and say, this is what's going on, these are the corrections we need. Let us realize that this Croson disparity report, I'm going to call it the disparity report because that's what you should be reading. And when I say you, I mean everyone that's listening. The disparity report's recommendations will cost us nothing. Can we say that enough, Earl? It costs nothing.
This is not a place. This is not something we have to go and beg a grant or write a grant or compete for a grant or hope for a grant for. This is just a matter of the city reconfiguring some regulations and ordinances and procedures that would make minorities inclusive in contracts and purchasing.
I think it's more basic than that. I think it's about a mindset that says it's time to be fair. To be fair, to realize that the pie is large enough that you can cut it fairly. Because until the doors of education are open fairly, not just open, but fairly, until job opportunities are open fairly, until you look around the boardroom table and say, we are not evenly recognizable for all. You know who lives in your city, and everyone should have a place at the table. This, to me, is what that Croson report shows. When you walk down a street like Jackson Avenue, that is now Martin Luther King Jr. Drive, and you see the disparity in the faces and the actions of the people, we have to realize why. And the fact that you can change this, begin changing this, by simply changing a mindset, a simple mindset. So when you hear certain people, which, again, I'm sure Dr. Thompson will go over who, that will stand up and realize that this is about a Crozen study, which is a disparity report, and not address it. Not address it. What is more important than that that's going on now?
Okay, Dr. Thompson, can you pick it up?
Dr. Thompson, please.
Well, let's first look at what Saturday looked like. Saturday came right after a big snowstorm, and God, in his wisdom, made the snow melt so that everybody could get there. We had well over 100 people there, but more pronounced than that was all of the elected and former electeds that came out, one, to hear Sheila Oliver, but also to get a look at what is BITE, what is BITE's intention, what is BITE planning to do. And there we had an opportunity to read out our mission statement and also to let them know what our impact statement was, what our intent is, and what our real desires are, and that is to unify our community and to give them the information and the tools and the wherewithal to be able to come forward to the officials that we need to come forward with ideas, concepts, and changes, with remedies for those changes to make a difference in our community.
Can I say this at this point? The interesting thing about the disparity study, and along with the other guests on the show and my co-host, I would like to urge everyone within earshot to read the disparity study. You can get a copy of it from the Jersey City Clerk's office. Just call the City Clerk's office and tell them what you want, and they'll either send you the disparity study or tell you how to go online and to fill out a form to get it, or you can go on the Hudson County, Urban League of Hudson County's website, uloh.com.org, and get a copy of it. They have it. You can see it there. And why I think that's important, because the scope of this study is comprehensive. I mean, there isn't an area of economic well-being that isn't covered in some place in this report. We're talking about something much more comprehensive than just jobs. We all know jobs are good and we need jobs. But what this is about is the wealth of the city, which is probably in the neighborhood of $1 billion a year that's spent, that is rarely ever coming into the minority community. We get less than, many, many years, we get less than 1%
right.
of the contract,
exactly.
the purchasing, the jobs, or anything else. And that is now illegal. The courts have held that you can't do that. It's called a disparity. And this is, the Supreme Court says, this is something you have to correct. So the city did a study with the intention of doing just that. However, as both of my the young ladies on the phone know, the city sat on this thing for about, the last administration sat on this report for 3 or 4 years. It had it. It did not tell anyone that it was completed. It shoved it in a drawer somewhere and did nothing with it. The new administration came in and was in office for about a year, and they didn't do very much with it. And, you know, some noise started getting made about where it is and what are you doing with it. So ultimately, the new mayor of Jersey City, Steve Fulop, finally, after about a year and a half, created a Crozen study, disparity study committee. And he put several elected officials, minority elected officials on. I believe that Councilwoman for Ward F, Diane Coleman, Councilwoman at Large, Joyce Waterman, Hudson County Freeholder for the 31st District, Jerry Balmier, and I believe Mr. Rivera, Councilman Rivera, is also a member of that committee. And then he also appointed on that board several city workers, employees that he reached out and touched and said they should be on it. But one of the things that the BITE committee did, and, you know, maybe one of you two ladies can talk about that, is we made a recommendation to bring one of a person that we felt should be on that committee. Can you enlighten us about that, Tina?
And this was not just any person. This was someone who was born in Jersey City, grew up in Jersey City, stayed in Jersey City, and his career was enhanced in Jersey City. A retired judge, a retired representative, and we can go on and on, who had the judicial temperament to fit well on the team and yet and still represent the disparities for a community. And this
we're talking, of course, you haven't given the name, we're talking about former retired judge, Superior Court Judge Joseph Charles, and everything you said is really on point. He is, he has all those qualities. He was also an attorney here. He was a state assemblyman himself and a state senator before he was a judge. And he knows the lay of the land, I think that you could say. Joe, as a resident of Jersey City, lived in the Lafayette section, was a 22 school graduate, and went and continued his education at Lincoln High School, was a stellar student. I mean, I know that because I was there with him and watched this man who was never off the honor roll at a time when being on the honor roll, as you know, Francis, in those days, that didn't happen easily. Get on the honor roll and stay on it every marking period, and then get a scholarship to Rutgers. And what most people don't know is Joe Charles didn't go to school to be a lawyer. He went to school to be a chemist. Got a chemist degree, worked for a while in that area, and then wasn't too happy with it. So he decided he'd go back and get a law degree. And that's how he became a lawyer and advanced all the way up the ladder to the position of Superior Court Judge.
With the historian, your historian view. So you're telling us something that we didn't know about Joe.
I suppose that's true. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to impress people with the fact that BITE, you know, when it looked it around and said, who do we need? We want somebody on that disparity committee that we feel will look out for the interest, not only the interest of the people in our community, who will know what those interests are and who has come up in the rough and tumble of Hudson County politics, and nobody knows this better than you, Francis, who came up in the rough and tumble of Hudson County politics, what it is all about, what is said and not said, and how things happen when doors are shut and certain people aren't around. And Joe knows the lay of the land. He understands all the dog whistles and sound bites and the ways things can be said. He's a valuable, and he's a retired judge. He's not working for any administration now. He is, you know, he's retired and living his life after Lord knows how many years of service. So we feel we got the right guy.
But he also has the judicial demeanor to take care of this, because he is not a man that has to fight and curse and knock down. He is a quiet man that has the capabilities of carrying that proverbial big stick.
Well, he's a very thoughtful man. He doesn't speak first. He thinks first and then speaks. And that's a very it doesn't sound like it would be much, but it's a much required and much needed quality in when you're dealing with something in a committee where you have many other points of view and you have to find a way to make your point of view understood and heard and to get your point across without being disagreeable about it.
And with that said, I want to interject something here. The selection of Joe Charles was unique, but it was very important because any of the people that are sitting on the committee are one new to government, new to understanding what the disparity study is. And therefore, they're trying to come up with some unique way of responding to the study, which already has a remedy in place. All it needs is to create a foundation of a or a unit or a bureau to go about implementing some of the remedies to make it happen. The only
this is the interesting thing about the disparity study. It not only tells us what we haven't gotten, but how we can fix that situation, and uses ways other states and municipalities and cities have gone about the business of making sure that they become more inclusive when it comes to letting minorities get a piece of the action for the city dollars.
Right, right.
And
but
let
see,
us
what
be clear that we're talking about doing this at no cost. At no cost. This can
doesn't
be done.
Doesn't cost anything. That's I'm going to reiterate that because I think this is important. Usually when we do this stuff, somebody's looking for $500,000, $2 million, $20 million. And very often that's what it'll take. This is not something that takes any money. This takes just readjusting
Right. And see, Earl, that's what people don't understand. The people that need to be part and parcel, part of the implementation, have to come out of the BA's office, has to come out the purchasing office, has to come out the law department. And what is unique about Joe Charles is, having been an elected official, he knows that government does not need to be reinvented. It needs to take what it already has and put it in place. He has to convince folks that do not clearly understand government, we don't have to reinvent, we have to pull from where we already have to create a unit that will address the needs of the study.
One of the interesting things about this study, and I've read it, and I know you have, and I know you have, Tina, and this is the other thing. I'm hoping, I sincerely hope that everybody that's on this disparity study that the city was that was created by the mayor has the wherewithal to sit down and actually read this thing, because it's very enlightening in terms of what it wants to do and what it's going to try to do. Just take a remedy, for instance. You have developments in the city that the city is a developer for. For instance, let's take the building they want to put up in the hub. There's a building that the mayor wants to put in called the City Hall Annex. It's going to be in the hub of Jersey City, and we're not so much getting jobs out of that, but he's taking a lot of offices that are now in buildings where we pay rent and putting those buildings in this new annex where eventually we'll own it. We'll have to pay rent for a while, but ultimately we'll own it. And he's saying, well, what I'm saying is, look, the city is a developer here because it's their land and it's their project. There is a contractor called the Brandywine Construction Company. What would have been the ideal thing that did not happen would be, since Jersey City is the developer, it could have said to Brandywine, all right, we need you to partner with a minority developer so that they can get to know and understand the intricacies and all of the details that are taken in getting involved in doing a development of this size and scope, where millions of dollars is changing hands. That would be one way to change the disparity. We would get a chance to be at the table.
But this would mean that you had to actually change a mindset, Earl. See, that's why that is so important to me, that we have to realize we're talking about people changing a mindset of it's okay to share. It's okay if everyone doesn't look like me. And how do we get a people prepared so that they can do that? So,
I agree with that, but the one thing about whether we can change all their minds or not, I don't know. But we can change the procedures that we are going to use to make them have to conform to ways that will allow us to be inclusive. Because I don't know if we're ever going to have any great come-by-year moment. Everybody sees the reality here. But we can say, all right, here's the deal. we're going to do this, and this is what you're going to be required to do, and if you don't want to do it, fine, just go away and we'll find somebody else to do it. Because this is what...
But I want you to hear me. I do similar type work for the county. They have to create a database. There are existing databases of minorities that have done work in the city of Jersey City, in the state of New Jersey, and in the county. They don't have to go out and actually look for people that have the ability or the capacity to work as subcontractors, and I mean subcontractors at $1 million, $5 million subcontractors that have done work already here in Jersey City. You have Mr. Folk that did the work up at Forest Street. He's done a multi-million dollar job. There's
actually, that's Wayne Harmon at Forest Street. Folks is on Claremont Avenue. The thing, though, Francis, is that the actuality is that the one of the interesting things the Croson study did, they didn't leave that stone unturned. They went and found out, they went and actually looked to see where there were people who could do the work. They identified those people. That's how they were able to come up with the numbers. And they, you know, they talked to those particular people who had the wherewithal, as you say, that could actually do this work. And why the Croson study is such an incredible document, they went to them and they can tell you how many people, they did the database, they can tell you how many people exist within the Black, Hispanic, and Asian communities, and even Native American, but of course we know they not a an issue here.
You're right. But
and where they are, and how they even went and talked to them and said, "How come you're not bidding? Why aren't you bidding?" And the interesting thing that came out of that was, if when you read the study, you'll find what I found years ago, that all of the minority people who want to do the work say, "Well, by the time we get there to do the bid, the deal is done." And the same people get it all the time. What has to happen, I believe, is that the deal can't be done. They, you know, they have to be, as Kenya said, the mindset there has to change. You have to be fair.
The mindset has to be changed, but until they establish a unit, a division, or a bureau that takes the work from the remedies and package it, it's not going to happen. Because
here's the issue I'm wondering about. Do we need a bureau, or do we just need, because that's hiring a whole lot of people and a whole lot more paperwork, are the rules today?
You don't have to hire people.
And follow those rules.
You don't have to hire people. You pull people out of the units I just told you. You pull people out of purchasing. You pull people out of the BA, and you pull them out. That's how my office functions. We do the same thing, two people, for 21 years. 21 years, two people have run the skillful seminars. We did the seminar for the Port Authority when they were going to do the summer. Two people. We were able to gather people throughout the county, but the unit is comprised of two people. If it is put together the way it should be, and that committee they have is at advisory capacity to that unit, it can be done.
But that's the point. As long as we, the city of Jersey City, takes the disparity report seriously and actually decides we want to move on it and stop saying that it's difficult. It's so difficult to read. That's not true. It is not
true. No, I mean, I think about it this way. When I read the disparity study, I told Tina, I'm sending you this study and I think you should read it. I tried to warn her not to try to read it all in one setting because it'll probably, not that it was so long, it was long, but because it'll make you so angry, you probably wouldn't be able to go to sleep that night. I called Tina the next day, and she had read the whole thing. So, and she understood it. So it's not above and beyond human comprehension.
Exactly.
It is whether or not you have the will to sit and do the work and read it. The other thing that I wanted to ask you ladies about was that we had Sheila, who made some excellent points. You're right. She said, you know, she talked about the State Economic Development Administration and other places where we don't have what we need to put people of color's faces on the boards, and the same thing for the county and the local government, because she mentioned the parking authority, and having covered the parking authority, I guess, for 30 years as a reporter, I think I remember one or two black people who were ever on that board. And, you know, we need to be present everywhere. The other thing is that we had some things that did come out of that meeting that I thought were interesting. First of all, we had police and fire. We had fire, we police. We had two gentlemen who are doing recruiting for the Jersey City Police Department there. And we had, I believe, I'm not mistaken, we had several corrections officers who were also recruiting for those positions. You know, you think that considering the fact that our jails are so full of minorities, I mean, I've been to Rahway, and I've been to Trenton State, and I've been to the Hudson County Jail, and you think you were in Harlem, that we would have no problem, you know, getting corrections officers of minority corrections officers, and I will say there are quite a few of them, but we could always use more. The police department, we certainly, you know, Francis, you know this. We have about as many police officers now as we had when you were a councilwoman. The number hasn't drastically gone up or down. It's just about the same.
I want to go back to the disparity study just one more time. Newark did a disparity study.
Yes.
And they now have a person on a county level that runs their affirmative action unit. There's only two people in that unit, and they're doing a yeoman's job. Why does the city think that they have to reinvent the wheel when there's so many places that have had a disparity study and found ways to remedy it? Why can't they go look at someone else as a model and just try to duplicate that model and use it here?
That's a very interesting question. I remember years and years ago, Francis, Bob Watson, somebody you know and remember very well, I know, said to me about snow removal. He said, you know, because we don't do a great job, or we're doing a better job now, but we didn't always do a great job. And he said, well, I don't understand why they don't go out to, say, Newark Airport or someplace like that, which, and you know, Newark Airport has has to keep those runways free of ice and snow, and see how do it. And then we could bring some of that knowledge back. We never do that. And so we just, like you said, keep reinventing the wheel over and over and over again. And
but
we
can
never
I like
see
to comment on that? Earl, I'd like to comment on that for a second. Those of us who form the executive board of BITE, we did look at other places that actually did something. So if we could find it, it's not as though it's a secret. It's easily found. And
it's not in a trunk buried someplace at the bottom of the Indian Ocean. It can be found.
And the point that I just want to make with that is there's such a difference between the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. The letter of the law may say, yes, do it now, as in free the slaves. But the spirit of the Lord did not immediately, with that, make them free. And that
well, not only that,
so
but it's another way to re-enslave them.
But
they call it Jim Crow.
And the point that I want to make with this is, now that we know it's here, it behooves us to, number one, read it, and number two, talk about it, and number three, have plans of action. And that's where BITE comes in, not as a lone entity, but as a team whose enterprise is in bringing groups and businesses and organizations and individuals under its wing for a common cause.
Well, let me ask you this, Tina and Francis, because this is an interesting situation. the mayor has formed a close and study committee, and they've been meeting now for approximately 4 months. Now, several other people on that committee were at the BITE forum Saturday, and they spoke. But I did not, and maybe it escaped my earshot or my attention, but none of the people who were on that committee, who all happened to be elected officials, got up and gave us any inkling of what, if anything, the Croson committee has done or is doing. And it's been 3 months.
Can I answer that?
Surely. Yes.
Can I answer that? And I'm
please.
Going to say that, and I hope it doesn't trigger anybody. When we have young folks that don't respect seasoned elected officials and seasoned government employees, you're going to have that problem. They think that their level of creativity exceeds ours. And so they fumble around in the dark trying to create something new that does not need to be created, but needs to just be looked at. And that is the problem with that young group. All of the people you're talking about basically are in that young tier of folks that think that they have a better way and that our old folks don't know what they're doing.
I'm hearing something in the background. Is there somebody else on the line?
Not on my phone. There's nobody
not
there.
On mine. Not on
mine. Okay, I just maybe that.
I just want to touch on something, Earl, that Dr. Thompson said. You know, that is indicative of the world today of young people that do not want to study at the knee of their elders. And this will kill us because we will continue to start from square number one. It doesn't allow growth. And the one thing that BITE refused to do was to work alone. And when I say that, I mean the following, that we decided, and you remember this, Earl, because it was an idea that we'd mold around four people in a room. And what we knew was it couldn't be simply young people. It could not be only older people. It
That's
had
right.
to be a collection of people for a common cause. And it also had to be, I might say, younger people who were willing to learn. And seasoned people who were willing to listen.
Let me see if I can put that in a context that, you know, for all the people listening. Now, here's what I'm getting from what you're saying. Yes, that's true. The people that were there, well, not all of them elected officials are all that young, but some of them are, you know,
younger than
Francis and I, let's say, and they haven't been around and seen as much as we have.
Right.
But they have not. They are on this committee, but they have not reached out to us. BITE has been around now since the committee was formed. You'd think that they would have come to us and said, or they would have said, "Look, what do you guys know that we don't know?" And how do you see this? For instance, I'll give you an example of why I think that's important. We have project labor agreements, as Francis is, I'm sure you're very much aware, and you, Sutina.
Yes.
We have project labor agreements with all the developers that they will hire our local people to do work, to employ people on their projects. Now, one of the things that the Croson study clearly showed when it took a look at the project labor agreement, said we're not getting anything out of that. And to show you how ridiculous it is, I started to look into what is going on at the compliance office, which is the office, as you said, Francis, it's supposed to, and this is what we have to watch out for, that's supposed to be monitoring to make sure that those jobs are filled, that they have people working on those sites. Well, there's no one there anymore. There's two people left. And there is no monitoring going on. No one's going out and taking a look at the sites. This bears on Tina's point about a different point of view, a different mindset. If the city is going to do this and is not sober and determined about it, we'll just go around and around and around like we've been going around and around and around. And so I'm wondering, how do we interface with the if we can, with the Croson study, with the Croson committee? Is there some way that these two entities, BITE and at least someone from the disparity study, who is an elected official or whatever, can come and say, here's what we see. What do you see? It would seem to me like it would make, I mean, considering who's on the in BITE, all the people I know who are in there have years and a decade. When you add it all up, Francis, I don't think I would be remiss in saying it's 100 years of experience in this in the BITE.
It's not more.
Right.
And
so instead of that, we have not heard, if they had not shown up Saturday, that was the first time I have seen their faces in the places, as they say, since they've been on that committee. No one has talked to us. No reports have been given. No meetings have been called. Nothing has happened. And I know we have our own representative, but I'm sure what his position is, well, you have your elected representatives there. It's their job to do that. That's why we elected them, isn't it? To represent us there and to see that we get this information. But they haven't done that. So how do we make that arrangement so that they begin to talk to us and you begin to talk to them? Because it seems to me like that is where this has got to end up at some point.
I'd just like to have a very brief statement regarding that. Something happened Saturday with Dr. Thompson, who every moment she gets, which is why it was so important to me that she was part of this team, every moment she gets, she's willing to give her counsel and her wisdom. If our seniors are willing to give you counsel and you will not take it, then you will learn a different way, but you will still get the lesson. But Dr. Thompson did something that was of paramount importance that Saturday. She said, I will tell you now. And she did this while they were all there. She reintroduced the ones who'd been in their shoes and told them, gave them the mandate, go and talk to them. Go and ask them. Do you remember that, Francis?
Yes, I do. I remember that.
That was such a bold and timely statement, because you cannot say, and the fact that it was done in public, you cannot say that it hadn't already been done privately, because I know it had.
Yes.
But the fact that it was done publicly, it holds you accountable for this information publicly. You're not getting it done when your elders tell you you are not meeting the task at hand. It behooves you to ask, how do I? They didn't ask, but she gave them a mandate of how to get it done. I ask you to speak to that.
Francis, what have you got to say about that, since it was your statement?
I want to go even a step further. If you listen to Sheila Oliver with not one piece of paper in front of her.
That's true. Right off the top of her head.
On all the issues, including the disparity study, in depth, very intelligently, how it needs to be implemented and what we need to do, for more than over an hour. Then you had Billy O'Day, who I asked to get up and speak about transition and how things need to be done. You're talking about two seasoned politicians, one a minority, one a non-minority. And if you, a new elected official, can sit there and see that there is a unique difference between you and them, then there's something wrong.
One of the things, I'm glad you brought up Billy O'Day, because I wanted to get to that before we ran out of time.
Right.
Bill O'Day, who both
Tina
and Fran, Tina's newer to him than you and I, friends. We've known Bill O'Day forever. And Bill got up and said, look, we have a program. And I was aware of this program a week before we had the BITE forum. But I was asked not to speak about it. But he and Joe Panepinto, Joseph Panepinto, of Panepinto Properties, one of the richest developers in Jersey City, have taken it upon themselves to start a program with a gentleman named Kelleher. You probably know him, Francis, from the unions, from the construction unions. And they started out with 40 young men, mostly all minority men, who they are now making sure that they are able to be enrolled in apprenticeship programs in all of the trades, plumbers, steam fitters, electricians. They brought them into Bill's office. They filled out the paperwork. If they didn't have the money to pay for their apprenticeships or the fees that were necessary, Bill Panepinto ponied that money up. They're going to take them by van or truck or bus or car to the sites, because where these apprenticeship sites are, locations are, you know, you'd have to get yourself a map and a microscope to find them. But they're going to make sure they get there and they get the training. You know, they get a shot at it. And that came not from our Jersey City officials, minorities, but this came out of Bill O'Day. And I was a little.
This is what he does. He didn't need that report to tell him this is what needed to be done, because he's vested in his city and the betterment of it. Now, I ask you, Earl, what did our freeholder say? What had he done?
One of the things that in another conversation while we were there between he and I, because I asked him that question, I said, well, what's going on? Now, Jerry Balmier is an official in the laborers union international of the building trade, and he said he got 25 people jobs, which is not a lot, but that's what he claimed. The other thing that I will give him that he got up and did say, that he wants to initiate conversations between intergenerational conversations. The only problem I have with it is he said it, but he didn't make any move to do it. I think we're running out of time, folks. You know, this was a... Now, we're not done with this yet. Let me put it that way. So, Francis...
Okay.
And Francis, you'll be back. Tina, you know you'll be back. So we will continue. This is, you know, let's put a bookmark here to be continued. Thank you, audience, for being here with us at the Earl Morgan Hour. We will see you next week. We'll be moving into our new digs at the Brightside Tavern, and we'll have a new name, whether it's the Earl and Tina Show or something else. It's going to change. So look out for that. We'll be advertising that and giving you information on it. And until next Wednesday, I want to thank Francis Thompson, my old friend, and Tina Bland, my neighbor and my co-host, and who has become my good left, right arm here, for being here tonight. And I would say good night to everyone, and we shall see you next week, same time, same station. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.